We got the NBA season hopefully opening up soon. We got Brooklyn Net trade rumors. The Knicks have to hire a head coach. We talk about a few of those things. Stephon Bondi of the Daily News. How you been?
Good, Evan. How's it been?
Stephon, how are you?
Hey, Joe. How's it going?
All right, man.
Let's get down to this. I think I'm in the minority. Joe and I are both in the minority. I'm not in love with the idea of trading every asset the Nets have for Bradley Beal. Tremendous player, probably the second or third best shooting guard in the NBA. Yes, there's a big three in Brooklyn, yippity-doo-dah. Am I crazy to not want to trade Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, Jared Allen, and 56 number one picks for Bradley Beal?
You're not crazy, and you're not crazy because I think the health of Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant is a big question mark. And when you have injuries like that, and Kyrie Irving played 20 games this season, you're going to need depth. And when you acquire that third superstar, if they do go for Bradley Beal or whoever else, you're going to be trading away all your depth, and you leave yourself vulnerable. Certainly during a long regular season and in the playoffs when they're going to need players to step it up. I mean, we saw this season, they needed Spencer Dinwiddie. If they didn't have Spencer Dinwiddie, I mean, they'd be one of the worst teams in the NBA. So, I don't think you're crazy to think that. But, you know, it's a star-driven league. And big threes have proven in this league that they win. So you also understand the other side of it.
You know, if everything goes to Hoyle and the NBA gets their season back on track, let's say, beginning of July, whatever, is it possible that we see Durant and Irving playing in the playoffs for the Nets? Is that a possibility at all?
I personally think it's a possibility. Now, I know there's especially concerning Durant, there's been a lot of reports that he is not coming back no matter what, that the Nets would not play him. I personally don't see why you would not play him. They have Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant have three summers together basically before they can become free agents. You're really going to waste one of the three postseasons that you're going to have with these two guys together and say, you know what, just take the rest of the year off. I understand that he's coming off that Achilles tear. I understand that's a devastating injury, but it's been now more than a year since he suffered that injury, more than a year since he had that surgery. And, you know, you bounce back from something like that in that timeline. So for me, it makes the most sense to try to get the most out of these guys in a playoff situation, which I understand there will be an asterisk to whoever is crowned a champion if they do resume the season. But this is the environment that you sign these guys for. This is why you paid these guys all this money, and this is why you went with the superstar route, is to play them in the playoffs. So that's why I think that it does make the most sense to play them if they're healthy.
If Kevin Durant is kind of deciding all of this, which I think we all assume, more than just
100%.
His own health, he's probably pushing the head coach, and if they trade for Bradley Beal, why would Durant not want to play in this postseason?
I think he would want to play. I mean, everything we hear about the guy is, I don't like the distractions. I don't like, you know, everything else that comes along with basketball in terms of the entertainment side of it. I just love basketball. What is your opportunity to play in a situation with no fans and to just play basketball in a playoff environment? I think this is tailor-made for somebody like him. That's why it makes the most sense for him to want to play, and I think he does want to play. I don't know, but I would think he does want to play at this point. It's been over a year.
You know, you said that the champion this year would have an asterisk. I disagree with that. I mean, I know the dynamic would be totally different, but if you're playing base, even if you went 3 out of 5 in the first couple rounds of the playoffs, and let's say conference finals, you went 4 out of 7, championship round 4 out of 7, I don't see that. I mean, in 1999, you played 50 games in a regular season. And, you know, San Antonio won a title, and I don't look at that title as being having an asterisk, in 99. How about that?
Well, I understand what you're saying, but there's an added element to this. And that's they're going to have a three-month layoff before the playoffs start. So it's not just about who's the best team. It's about what teams were able to prepare the best. Mm-hmm. And you have a situation in Brooklyn where they still haven't opened up their practice facility, but they've opened up their practice facility in other cities. So that's unfair to a team like Brooklyn. And so you have all these different elements to this. It's different from a strike-shortened season. And I think that will weigh into whoever is crowned the champion. It's not necessarily going to be the best team, but the team that kind of bounces back quickly after a three-month stretch.
Well, it's also going to be weird because there's no home court advantage whatsoever. Yeah. I mean, they may as well not even not call a team a home team. You know, if the Nets are playing the Raptors in the first round, you know, what the heck's the difference between game one and game three and game six and game seven when it's an empty arena in the same arena?
Yeah, that's another element too. But, I'm pretty excited to see something like that. I think it'd be fun. I've tried to watch. I know you guys are big soccer fans, right?
Oh, yeah.
I tried to watch the German League, and it was weird, but it's still fun. And, I think it's going to be great for the NBA to get the season back going and fans to watch this kind of stuff. So I'm rooting for it to come back for sure.
All right, now do you see that? We're talking to Stephon Bondy. Do you see that? I mean, do you see, let's say, July 1st, the season begins, and will there be a couple regular season games? Would everybody be involved? Would they just have the playoff teams? How would you see it playing out, Stephon?
Well, a couple weeks ago, I thought that there would be no shot that the season would return, but something happened earlier this week where I started hearing a lot more optimism in terms of the season resuming, specifically in Orlando. And I think what's going to happen is, assuming there's no glitches, and this is a crazy virus, unpredictable virus, so nobody really knows what's going to happen. But what I do possibly see happening is that they call back the teams sometime next month in June. They begin that a mini training camp, and then they start playing sometime in July. Now, the format still hasn't been decided. And one thing that never made sense to me is bringing these teams as non-playoff teams back for a training camp and then like four or five meaningless regular season games and sending them home. Now, one way to circumvent that is to have a play-in tournament, and something like that would give the Knicks, for instance, an opportunity to be in the playoffs and maybe make a championship run. So that's one of the things being discussed. This specific format, however, has not been settled on.
The reason I think it's a terrible idea to do something like that, I know the NHL's doing it, but the NHL, to me, it seems fair. You've got teams that are 2 points out of a playoff spot, 3 points out of a playoff spot. I mean, the Rangers are not the Knicks in many ways. And in the standings, the Rangers are not the Knicks. The Rangers were in a playoff race, and it just so happened that the season got shut down. The New York Knicks, the Atlanta Hawks, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they don't deserve a second chance. And I'm with Joe that there's no asterisk on this season. I totally get your points. But I think by having a tournament, you're almost trying to add an asterisk to the season.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that. And here's my crazy idea. And I know it's never going to happen, but let me know what you guys think.
Let's hear it.
You separate it into two tournaments. You have the championship tournament for the teams that made the playoffs, and then a separate tournament for the teams that are not in the playoffs, and have the winner basically have that replace the draft lottery.
I love it.
Well, that's different. So, now you're talking about something different.
Yes.
The champion wins the number one pick.
I want to stop you, though. Are we going to play best four out of sevens for that? What are we going to do?
No, probably not. I think you got to have more of a single elimination kind of thing. But it also depends on how much time you have to play these games. Certainly, they want to condense this in as small a window as possible because they still have to prepare for next season.
Yeah, the thing I've always thought in the past about doing some kind of tournament is the lottery's flawed. I mean, no matter anyone's view on it, like I know Joe and I disagree about this. Joe, you've said in the past, just give it to the team with the worst record.
Yeah,
right? Just give it to
them.
I obviously disagree with that because I think there would be even more tanking. So I've always thought, hey, there should be some kind of tournament. The problem is, I don't think Julius Randle, I hate to pick on Julius, but I don't think Julius Randle gives a damn about the number one overall pick. He probably doesn't. He's thinking, what the hell do I care? So that's the only problem with it, that you almost have to put something else on the line for the players, because I don't think most players care that their franchise, that they may not be a part of in the future, gets the number one overall pick in the draft, you know?
Oh, 100%. And you can even take it beyond that. You have players playing for the opportunity of your team to draft your replacement.
Right,
so there's
a
lot of reasons why. There's a lot of reasons why they wouldn't want to do it. But if you're ever going to do it, it's this season, because if you're gonna gather all these players together for a mini training camp and send them to Orlando and put them in this bubble, I mean, the only reason they're doing this, especially the teams that aren't in the playoffs, is for money.
Right,
now, they have to get to a certain amount, of TV money so that they all get their paychecks and whatever. So if you're ever going to do something like that, you do it this year.
Have you heard, take a guy like R.J. Barrett. R.J. Barrett's in his rookie season. Seems like a really good kid. Seems like he loves the game. Does a guy like that want to play? Is it almost like, yeah, I don't care if the five games mean nothing, man. This is my rookie season. This is the NBA. Yeah, I want to go to Disney World the middle of July. Any sense that there are some players who would just be excited to play?
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, it's basketball, right? I mean, a lot of these guys are playing anyway. I mean, I've seen videos of Mitchell Robinson out in New Orleans just playing pickup and scrimmages as much as they can. So, listen, we're not telling them to go scrub bathroom toilets. We're telling them to go to Disney World to play a couple basketball games. So I think there would be some excitement for that, whether or not the teams are in the playoffs, especially for the young players that haven't been through a lot of the things that some of the veterans have been through. So, yeah, I do think some of the players are excited for that.
All right, who's the next coach of the Knicks?
If you ask me right now, I think it's Tom Thibodeau. I think from my understanding, he is a top candidate.
Right.
The only other person that I've heard that will get consideration right now is Mike Miller. I think more candidates will emerge. The Knicks are waiting for the season to end before they begin that search in earnest. Personally, I think the Knicks would make a big mistake not at least considering Kenny Atkinson. I think he did a tremendous job in Brooklyn, and I think he's tailor-made for a team the way that the Knicks are constructed. So that's just my personal thought.
Yeah, he wouldn't be bad. I'd be all for Kenny Atkinson coaching the team.
Look, he did a good job. He did a good job.
Yeah.
Especially developing young players and turning guys that, you know, appear to be G League players into NBA players.
And there's nobody that's a big enough star yet to fire him. You know?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And you got like you said, you got a team of young players that you need to develop, and that is what Kenny's good at.
What are your impressions? And obviously, it's tough to do too much during this time. They're not hiring a head coach, but we have seen Leon kind of put his stamp a little bit on this front office. What do you think? He did bring back Scott Perry, which I have no problem with. Overall, what do you think about the kind of the look of this front office right now?
Well, he brought in the capologist from Cleveland, who has a reputation for being kind of a cap whiz, and that's important for a guy like Leon who's never done this before. So I think that's a good, smart, and good hire for him. And he hired Frank Zanin, who I don't know if you remember, Evan, was the GM of the Nets for a little bit. I do know him a little bit. I think he's a good guy. I think he's a smart guy. I think he's very good at scouting. He knows how to identify talent. So I like what they're doing so far. Now, I've liked what they've done in the past, but too, sometimes, and it hasn't worked out. So we'll see. They tend to win the press conferences and little else.
Mm. All right. So right now, you think that we will have a season, right? You would say
I do. Today, you asked me today, they're going to have a season, and it's going to begin in July.
Okay.
And Kevin Durant's on the floor.
I don't know that. I think he should be on the floor. I can tell you that.
No, let me tell you something, man. As the days go by, I say, if this guy is healthy, I want him out there. Because even if you put him on a minutes restriction, I don't even have a problem with that. I get it. Guy hasn't played in 13 months. Put him on a 20-minute restriction. It gives these guys experience playing together. Because, look, you reported the other day, Nets are talking internally about pursuing Bradley Beal, which is fine. I fully expect that Sean Marks is going to try to get a third star. But I'd love to see, you know, this team actually play together. And we haven't. It's been a theory for the last 11 months. What will Durant, LeVert, Dinwiddie, Kyrie look like? We've never seen it. Even Kyrie couldn't stay on the floor. So even if it's a small period of time at Disney World in the middle of July, wouldn't it be nice to actually see this basketball team as a whole before Sean Marks makes another monstrous trade?
Oh, 100%. I agree with you. And I also think, listen, you have a basically what's going to amount to a small tournament occurring in Orlando, if it does happen.
Right.
And you're able to put two of the best players in the NBA on the floor at the same time. You should do it. And I understand everybody saying, well, why risk injury for this? And, you know, you got to think long term. This is why they signed these guys. So it makes just perfect sense to play them if they're healthy and available.
Yeah.
What other star, you know, quote unquote, I'm using my fingers here, would be available that you think Sean Marks is going to go after? Beal's a name we've heard about for a while. Is there anyone else that you can see becoming available and fitting what Sean is trying to build with Durant and Kyrie?
I think the situation in Philadelphia is worth monitoring because Embiid and Ben Simmons have not worked out the way that everybody thought they might, and there's been a lot of friction and issues there in terms of playing style. So I think either Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid is a situation worth monitoring. After that, listen, Chris Paul, I know he's not a superstar, but if your window's short and you're able to acquire somebody, he would not cost as much as some of these other guys. There's a lot of in flux right now in Houston. We don't know what's going to happen. I think Mike D'Antoni's not going to be back next season, I think. So we don't know what's going to happen with Russell Westbrook and James Harden. So I think those are situations worth monitoring. Then you have the situation in Minnesota with Karl Anthony Towns. I know he's sick of losing, and they just brought in his friend D'Angelo Russell, so that gives him a little bit of leeway. But that's another situation worth monitoring. From what I heard specifically is they are in the market for a third star, and internally they discussed specifically Bradley Beal and different ways that they can put together packages to acquire him.
Interesting. Involving giving up basically everybody. That's my assumption.
I would assume that too, because there's no reason Washington is not being they have no compelling reason to trade him right now. They have him locked up. They want to see him play with John Wall. So it's going to cost them a lot if John Wall does become available.
Indeed. Stephon, thank you very much for joining us. Hopefully you'll be covering basketball in a month and a half.
Indeed. Yeah, tell me about it. Thanks.
Thanks, man. All right, man.